Morning, Your Honor.
You reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Corey Stoll. I'm here on behalf of the appellant and cross-appellee in this case, Alex Lanham. The district court committed reversible error in this case by finding that BNSF was not negligent and that the sole cause of Mr. Lanham's injuries in this case was his own contributory negligence. On the other hand, the district court properly found that it had personal jurisdiction over the BNSF because it consented to jurisdiction under Nebraska law. I don't want to get bogged down with too many of the standards because there's a lot of them, but some of the things I want to point out that are unique about the FELA is that at summary judgment, BNSF has a huge uphill battle because it must show that this is the extremely rare incident where there's either zero probability that it was negligent or that there's zero probability that its negligence caused Mr. Lanham's injuries before it can obtain summary judgment. Comparatively speaking, Mr. Lanham's burden is minimal. It's even been described as moving to the very vanishing point. It's so thin that it's been described as pigeon bone broth or feather weight. Also important to note is that with the FELA, a jury trial is part and parcel of the remedy. So like in this case, when it was denied of Mr. Lanham, he was denied a huge portion of the remedy the FELA is designed to provide him. In this instance,
is the FELA strict liability?
No, it is not strict liability, Your Honor. There's still, you have to show any negligence, no matter how slight, that caused in whole or in part. It's not strict liability, though, but the burden is very minimal. It differs from the normal common law negligence that must be proven. In this particular instance, the district court cited all these standards, but then it misapplied the law and misinterpreted and misapplied the facts in the case, and sometimes came up with facts that were completely opposite to what was in the record, as well as misapprehended some of the arguments that we were making.
Counsel, all that you're not suggesting, I don't think anyone has, but I want to be clear about this, that the FELA, the federal statute, in some fashion permits jurisdiction to be somewhere other than the Supreme Court has said in the context of due process. In other words, other than place of incorporation or principal place of business. The FELA doesn't speak to that issue at all.
Right? No, the FELA itself doesn't. There are other laws that talk about consent that allows that. Daimler didn't talk about consent. Daimler only talked about consent in one fashion, which actually is beneficial to the plaintiff in this case, because it cites to Perkins as the paradigm or example case, which is the Ohio case where there was a Filipino company. And in that particular instance, it says that the paradigm case where a defendant has not consented. So it is drawing a distinction between consent, saying we're not talking about where you've consented, because without question, there's no law out there that says that personal jurisdiction cannot be waived and it cannot be consented to. So we're not saying the FELA, some portion of it, confers any additional jurisdiction.
What's your strongest argument there is jurisdiction here?
That they consented to jurisdiction.
On what basis?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the Knowlton case, the Middlestad case, Perigo, and Consolidated Infrastructure, one of the most traditionally...
Is Middlestad good law after Daimler?
Absolutely, because Daimler doesn't talk about consent. And when it doesn't talk about consent, then certainly it can't in silence overrule and cover everything. And I think that there are a lot of cases post-Daimler, including Perigo, where Justice Girard talked about the consent, and Judge Battalion of the Nebraska District Court, Federal District Court, talked about consent post-Daimler. And so I think, to answer the court's question, the it's our strongest argument because if you look at 30 years of history of the Eighth Circuit and Mittelstaedt, the one of the most known ways and kind of the axiomatic way to give consent is to have a registered agent for service of process. That's what those cases say. And I think that when you look at the fact that BNSF had a registered agent, then I think you have to look at the statutes around the having of the registered agent. 21-203 says you've got to file a certificate of authority to do business in this state if you're a foreign corporation.
So is this correct that Nebraska is in the minority with respect to saying that registration equals jurisdiction?
Well, I think that there's a split of them. I can't tell you the exact breakdown, but there are cases from New Jersey, New Mexico. There's a Kansas, other states that have said that registration still is a good way to have consent jurisdiction.
Would you concede that in the absence of registration, consent, you're arguing, that a Nebraska court could not exercise jurisdiction over BNSF in these circumstances? I mean, isn't that the Tyrell case? The Tyrell case says we're only going to allow for jurisdiction if you're at home and BNSF got some employees in Idaho or Montana or whatever it was. They got some tracks, but that's not good enough.
Well, Tyrell says we're not getting to consent.
Right, I understand that. But I'm asking, in the absence of consent, does Tyrell preclude jurisdiction here?
Which is subsequent to Daimler.
No, well, I don't think it does, because we need to have an analysis then of what the contacts are in Nebraska. Unfortunately, in this particular case, when they moved moved to dismiss, the court also stayed discovery. So we couldn't do discovery on the very issues of what are their contacts here. But I do think if you look at the contacts let me back up a little bit, because that's the law of the case then, when the court has already said you've consented to it, didn't get to the issue of the Daimler contacts and whether it's enough. Daimler does not say that is the sole, or Tyrell does not say these are the sole places you can do it. It says these are the paradigm. A paradigm is an example. It leaves open other places. And then you have to compare. You have to use the international shoe.
But what did Tyrell hold? Tyrell held that BNSF could not be subjected to jurisdiction in the state in which that action was brought.
Again, absent consent, and it did an analysis of what those contacts were. The court didn't do that here, and we weren't allowed to do discovery on that, or didn't do discovery, because once that was decided, there was no reason for us to do discovery. But if you look at this case, Nebraska is different than BNSF's facts of what its contacts are different than what is in Montana. It said in that particular factual situation it wasn't. But compare, for example, Nebraska has 11% of the employees. Their headquarters has only 22%. You combine Nebraska and Texas, because you have to look at the global picture under Daimler.
You're contending BNSF is at home, in the words of the U.S. Supreme Court, in Nebraska?
I think you have to do an analysis of the contacts in order to see whether they are at home, and I think it is possible that they are at home in Nebraska because they have 11% of their employees are here. They own $108 million worth of property here. They're the second highest taxpayer here.
Are those facts in the record?
Yes, they are. Jansen Thompson, who is the person who is in charge of the Nebraska division, said Nebraska is one of the most important places of its operations. You look at the L.B. Foster case where the BNSF submitted evidence that said that It is, Nebraska is one of its most important states. It has more it has a lot of employees here. It gives a lot of money here. In order to try to hail someone into court or use Nebraska law, it was affirmatively stating these things. BNSF spent $226 million in 2015 alone because it stated affirmatively that it was, that Nebraska was so important to its operation. So yes, I do think that they can be held at home here because Daimler doesn't say these are the sole two places that you can look at. It says these are the example or paradigm places. It leaves open that there are circumstances. And I think that the very operations, and unfortunately, this isn't in the record, but discovery needs to be done at least on remand on this issue because the district court didn't analyze all these contacts. It just went to consent.
What do you think at home means?
I think that it at home means a place where they can expect to be hailed into court.
Does it mean incorporated in principal place?
I think those are two paradigm examples. I don't think it's the sole, because they leave the exception.
It's not the sole capability of at home, in your view.
I think that's what Daimler says. I think Daimler says there's an outside exceptional circumstances, and I think that we ought to be able to show those exceptional circumstances by analyzing those facts. Had Daimler meant to say the sole two places are where you're incorporated and principal place of business, it would have, but it didn't. And Daimler also didn't get rid of International Shoe, which International Shoe requires you to go through an analysis to determine whether jurisdiction is proper by looking at the quality and nature of the context, the quantity, the how this case, the facts of this case affect the jurisdictional issues, whether this court has any interest in protecting its residents, and also the convenience of the parties. So if you look at those things, I think you have to look at the quality and nature of the context, and there are many in this case with what was even developed with the court. Mr. Lanham was a Nebraska resident. It has a right to be protected here. There, in Texas, in this case, there was only one witness from Texas. All the witnesses were outside of either Texas or Delaware. They don't have any Nebraska certainly has more contacts and more places that the railroad would expect to be hailed into court than Delaware, where all it did is file some papers. Here, it filed some papers, and those papers say that you're going to be treated like any other corporation, like a domestic corporation, and number one, to sue and be sued in this jurisdiction. So we would ask that I didn't get a chance to talk about the underlying summary judgment. We believe that the district court erred in misapplying the facts, and there are facts certainly that create a genuine issue of material fact that should have allowed Mr. Lanham to have his day in court under the FELA. And so we'd ask that you reverse and remand this case for a trial on the merits. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Tulinello, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Andrew Tulinello, and I represent BNSF Railway. Thank you for the permission and the opportunity to address the Court. The appeal today has two components, Mr. Lanham's appeal from summary judgment and BNSF's cross-appeal on the jurisdictional issues. I will address the jurisdictional issue first. In recent cases, the Supreme Court of the United States has made clear that there are two forms of personal jurisdiction: general, all-purpose jurisdiction, where a state can exercise personal jurisdiction over a defendant over any cause of action arising anywhere, and specific jurisdiction, which applies only when the specific claims at issue arise in the forum state. We are here on general personal jurisdiction. The district court held that BNSF consented to general personal jurisdiction when it registered to do business in Nebraska. That is incorrect for two reasons. First, the registration statute does not require consent to general jurisdiction. Like most other registration statutes, the registration statute simply requires a foreign corporation to appoint an agent for service of process in Nebraska. Service of process and the scope of personal jurisdiction are distinct concepts, and the registration statute says nothing about personal jurisdiction. Since Daimler in 2014, no state Supreme Court or federal court of appeals has interpreted a state registration statute as constituting consent to personal jurisdiction. To the contrary, state Supreme Courts, including Delaware, Illinois, Montana, Oregon, Missouri, and Wisconsin, all have construed their registration statutes, which are material and identical, which are identical in material respects to Nebraska's, as not constituting consent to general all-purpose jurisdiction.
Are there some state statutes that are more explicit about having a registered agent constituting consent to personal jurisdiction?
There's only one I'm aware of, which is Pennsylvania, where the statute, I believe, is very explicit about conditioning registration on consent to jurisdiction. That issue is pending in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court now. But the registration statute's language there does expressly say, by registering, you are consenting to jurisdiction in this state. Delaware and Oregon in particular are notable Supreme Court decisions because before Daimler, they had interpreted their state statutes as constituting consent to general personal jurisdiction. After Daimler, they changed their views of the state laws.
And
the
what do you think at home means?
At home means the corporation's principal place of business or where it is incorporated.
How do you respond to your opponent's argument that those are just paradigms and the Supreme Court might have left open other categories of at home?
Well, the Supreme Court has said in a couple of cases that in extraordinary circumstances, there may be another place where a corporation can be at home. And the only case it cited is this Perkins case from 1952, where a corporation, which was ordinarily headquartered in the Philippines because of the Second World War, relocated to Ohio and was deemed to be at home there because essentially its principal place of business was in Ohio. There is no similar fact pattern here. This case is just like the Tyrell case in the Supreme Court of the United States. You had the same company, in fact, there. BNSF generated more revenues in Montana than it does in Nebraska. It has more track mileage in Montana than it did in Nebraska. So there was significant continuous activity, business activity in the state that was deemed not to be sufficient in Montana, and that level of activity wasn't sufficient to constitute at home in Montana. The fewer contacts in the record here would not constitute consent in Nebraska either.
What do you think the undisputed contacts are in Nebraska on this record?
So on this record, Your Honor, at Volume 5, Exhibit 12 of the Bill of Exceptions, is the Obermiller Declaration, which is an employee of the BNSF who documents the level of activity of this state compared to the principal place of business in Texas, and also avers that the corporation is incorporated in Delaware.
Has the Supreme Court used the term principal place of business? Is that a term of art or a term of fact? Exactly what is it?
The principal place of business has been defined in the context of the Class Action Fairness Act in a case called Hertz, where essentially the Supreme Court said you want to have an administrable rule, so we'll look where the headquarters of the company are, the nerve center, if you will. In this case, it's clear that Fort Worth in Texas is where BNSF's headquarters, most of its employees. That's clearly where the principal place of business of BNSF is. I don't think there's any dispute about that.
But it could be a factual. I guess I'm perhaps hearing you say you have the CEO lives in Seattle and everyone else is in Dallas-Fort Worth. Maybe it's Dallas-Fort Worth.
I suppose if you had a case where the decision makers in the nerve center were dispersed among many different states, you could have a factual question about principal place of business. But on this record, where all of the executive officers, most of the employees, all of the track coordination around the system on these giant screens and monitors, all of that happens in Fort Worth. So I don't think there's any question on this record that Texas is principal is BNSF's principal place of business.
Is BNSF owned by another corporation?
Yes. So BNSF's owned by Berkshire Hathaway, but that would not make any difference to the jurisdictional analysis. You still respect the corporate form of subsidiary corporations that do the jurisdictional analysis based on the corporate form, unless there's some allegation of veil piercing or alter ego, which there has not been here. In terms of the registration statute, I think the...
If we side with you, what do we do with our earlier case law, like the Middlestad case?
So I think, to my mind, I don't think you need to do anything with Middlestad. Middlestad was decided in 1982 before Daimler. Importantly, it involved the interpretation of a federal statute, the Federal Motor Vehicle Carrier Act. And Congress has greater power under the Fifth Amendment to regulate personal jurisdiction, at least in the federal courts, than do states under the 14th Amendment. And so I think, Middlestad leaves open whether a federal statute makes a difference. The test for a federal statute in federal courts is whether the defendant has minimum contacts with the United States, whereas the test for a state under the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause is whether the defendant has minimum contacts with the state itself. So that would be another basis to, in effect, distinguish Middlestad.
And it's possible that the FELA might have contained such a comparable provision, but it doesn't.
That's correct. And in fact, Your Honor, to your question, in the sort of second holding of Tyrell is that FELA does not, the FELA venue provision does not confer personal jurisdiction on state or federal courts. It's just a venue provision. That was specifically raised and argued and decided in Tyrell. And just coming back to Middlestad, even Middlestad itself doesn't say that registration pursuant to the Federal Motor Carrier Act confers general personal jurisdiction over that entity. It specifically limits the consent to claims relating to a common carrier's activities under the Act. So even Middlestad didn't go as far as saying general all-purpose jurisdiction when you register. And in any event, Middlestad, being a federal statute, isn't controlled squarely like a state statute, which is at issue here, the Nebraska registration statute, when you have three cases, Goodyear, Daimler, and Tyrell, all of which make clear that the 14th Amendment does not permit a state to exercise personal jurisdiction, general personal jurisdiction, unless the company is at home in the state.
And would you agree that Goodyear, Daimler, and Tyrell were not explicitly, at least, predicated on consent jurisdiction?
Correct. They were not, Your Honor. But what they do, if I could just back up and do just a very quick review of how we see the case law on consent developing. Before International Shoe in 1945, jurisdiction was based on where a corporation was present. So since a corporation was only present in a state where it was incorporated, corporations were effectively immune from suit in other states because they couldn't be found there. So these courts, as explained in International Shoe, the courts began to resort to what they called a fiction of a corporation being present if it had registered, if it had appointed an agent for service of process. And that fiction was used to bring corporations into court out of state. In International Shoe, they said, we're casting those fictions aside, and we're going to do replace that with minimum contacts in a specific jurisdiction inquiry. And then in the Burnham case in 1990, the Supreme Court again reiterated all of the pre-International Shoe presence cases have been cast aside in favor of the specific jurisdiction inquiry. And then Daimler itself says cases that were decided in this presence era, the Pennoyer era, should not attract heavy reliance today. So all that is to say that the fiction of consent and presence is no longer the mode of analysis for looking at specific jurisdiction. And the court has been clear, at least on the issue, very clear on the issue of general personal jurisdiction, that can only be where the corporation is at home, and that's where it has its principal place of business, or its or where it is incorporated. In terms of looking at the registration statute itself, I think unlike the long arm statute, the registration statute is silent. There are several canons of statutory interpretation that we believe also help get to the result that it doesn't constitute consent. Consent must be expressed. This court has said that. Consent to general personal jurisdiction must be expressed. Here, it's an implied argument. It must be case specific. The Supreme Court in Insurance Company of Ireland said the paradigmatic examples are form selection clauses, stipulations, agreements to arbitrate. This court said something similar in the Ameritas Investment Corp case. The paradigmatic example of consent is a form selection clause. The doctrine against surplusage. If registering to do business were sufficient to confer general personal jurisdiction, the Nebraska long arm statute would be irrelevant, or at least surplusage, in every case involving corporations. The Nebraska long arm statute has multiple tests for evaluating whether conduct occurred, quote, in this state. And that whole statutory scheme would be irrelevant with respect to any corporation, any of the thousands of corporations that have registered to do business here. And finally, there's the doctrine of constitutional avoidance, where this court has said it will not construe statutes in a way that would present a serious constitutional question, and that also counsels against reading the Nebraska registration statute as a consent to all purpose jurisdiction. Because reading it otherwise would indeed raise significant constitutional problems under Goodyear, Tyrell, and Daimler. There is also a reference in the brief to eminent domain as being another potential basis for exercising general all-purpose jurisdiction here. I think the predicate for that argument is that BNSF is a foreign corporation that has domesticated itself here and become a, quote, body corporate under the Nebraska statutory scheme. That, I think, is a simple theory to put aside. The summary judgment evidence that the plaintiff put in, Bill of Exceptions, Volume 6, Exhibit 20, Exhibit A, is from Nebraska's corporate registry. It shows that BNSF is a foreign corporation registered to do business. A foreign corporation with a certificate to do business here incorporated in Delaware. It is not a domesticated foreign corporation. And even if it were, there's nothing in the domestication statutes of becoming a body corporate that, again, ties that act to consent to general personal jurisdiction. Railroads, pipelines, public and private utilities, energy companies, et cetera, all of those would be subject to general personal jurisdiction under that theory. So we would respectfully ask this court to hold that BNSF did not consent to general personal jurisdiction, and that the district court lacked personal jurisdiction over this case, in this case.
I think I understood opposing counsel to argue that if we agreed with you, we would need to nonetheless remand for perhaps jurisdictional discovery or some opportunity to show some other basis for jurisdiction. Do you have a response to that?
Yeah, we totally disagree with that. At the motion to dismiss stage, we moved to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction. There was a stay at the motion to dismiss stage on jurisdictional discovery. The district court denied our motion to dismiss for personal jurisdiction, and then the case proceeded to full discovery. And in our answer, one of our affirmative defenses was there's no personal jurisdiction here. We developed evidence on that. They had the full ability to exhaustively pursue any discovery they wanted to pursue. In fact, they put in the summary judgment record lots of evidence on BNSF's contacts. You heard the tax revenue, the employees, the statements about Nebraska's importance. There was no order denying any discovery that they would request relating to anything BNSF was doing in Nebraska. So as far as we're concerned, there's no discovery order has even been appealed. So there's no basis for a remand. The basis for jurisdiction suggested by the district court argued on here is consent by the registration statute and perhaps on this eminent domain, both of which do not work. So we would ask that the court not become the first state to construe its registration statute as consent to all-purpose general personal jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 1 minute and 23 seconds.
1 minute and 23 seconds, Mr. Stoll.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think that one thing to keep in mind is that once the district court, on the motion to dismiss, which really was a summary judgment because they offered evidence, found that they consented to jurisdiction, that's the law of the case. There's no reason for us to do anything else. They got another crack at it later on. We are allowed, under the law of the case, at that point to rely on that. So there's no reason for us to do jurisdiction. So I think that there is reason for us to be able to go back and do jurisdiction if we're going to decide this case on whether this is they're at home here or not, because those facts have not been developed. I think that
what's the objective of the discovery you would seek? At home?
At home, under the international shoe rationale that Daimler talks about. What the railroad didn't want to talk about is the exception language that the Daimler case specifically says. So we should be able to develop whether they do have those contacts, because it could be the exceptional case, because even with the facts that we had that we brought forward, there are significant contacts with the state of Nebraska. Now, they try
more,
to draw...
More than in Tyrell?
Much more than in Tyrell. Mr. Lanham was a resident here. None of those plaintiffs were residents of Montana.
We don't focus on the plaintiff to determine whether you can exercise jurisdiction over a defendant, do we?
Tyrell did. One of the things it said is they're not even residents here, because it was an issue of forum shopping. So you look at their contacts. He was trained here. Training is one of the issues in the case, whether he was trained properly.
Would you have a focus, or are you abandoning consent?
Oh, absolutely not. We're not abandoning consent.
Well, opposing counsel says consent old school. What's your answer?
I don't think it's old school, because unlike Daimler does not say anything about consent, and again, it draws a distinction when the Perkins case that was discussed, that language shows that there's a divergence. It's saying we're not even talking about those cases, because we're talking about in the situation where they didn't consent. So the court leaves open consent. If you go to... So the court doesn't say consent's no good anymore. They could have in Daimler if that's what they wanted to do. They had the chance in Tyrell where they could have said, all these cases have come up before and said, we're not talking about consent. Consent's out the window. Consent is different than international shoe contacts. And Tyrell, they could have very easily said, what we meant by our language at home in Daimler was to abrogate consent.
Would you just be, I want to be very clear on one thing, and what specific language in which specific statute are you relying upon that confers jurisdiction by consent?
I'm looking at the
registration.
Registration and the certificate of authority. Because if you look at 21-2207, it says here's the effect of because in order to do business in Nebraska, a foreign corporation has to have a certificate of authority. There's a specific statute that the only way the railroad wouldn't know what the effect of that was to not read it, because it says you will be treated no better or worse, so it can't be a deprivation of due process rights, because we're going to treat everybody the same. We're going to treat those corporations, foreign, just like the domestic. That includes the privileges, rights, liabilities, and consequences that apply to our domestic corporations. Certainly, the legislature has the power to regulate what corporations do within its bounds.
So you're reading that statute together with 21-19-152.
No, I'm not reading 29-152, because that's another issue that's really important here. They challenge the constitutionality of that. That statute doesn't apply in this case, because it applies to nonprofits. And so I think that their constitutional challenge is invalid, because if you look at the Supreme Court rule 2-109E and State versus Bletcher, which is, I believe that's a case that came out recently, where Justice Stacey was the author, I believe, you've got to be specific, and they chose the nonprofit corporation statute to challenge, which is not in play here, because BNSF is a for-profit corporation. So I read that, the other statute that I read.
So again, which specific statute you're relying on?
I'm relying on a combination of 21-2203, 2207, and 21-227, which 227 is the, what are the powers of the, what are the powers of a domestic corporation? So, and I see my time is up, and so I won't belabor any of this anymore, but we would respectfully request that this court remand this case for a full trial on the merits, and if the court believes that the there needs to be analysis on the at-home, that we'd be allowed to have jurisdictional discovery in this matter to develop to see whether that exception in Daimler applies in this case. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That takes us to the next case of the day then, which is State versus Vincent Valentino. I am recused from this matter. So Justice Miller Lerman will preside, and everybody needs to give me a second to get in and out of, or get out of the courtroom. Thank you very much.